Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. Today is Sunday, September 15th, 2019. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. We're so glad you could join us this morning. And we will start with our morning prayer.
From page 15 of Christian Science versus Pantheism. May our Father, Mother God, who in times past had spread for us a table in the wilderness and in the midst of our enemies, establish us in the most holy faith, plant our feet firmly on truth, the rock of Christ, the substance of things hoped for, and fill us with the life and understanding of God and goodwill towards men. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you. Goes well with our lesson on substance. Linda did a good job speaking of our watching point yesterday. We had a very important Bible study. Many of you were there. We had 95 people there. But if you weren't there, listen to the recording because we're going to refer to it somewhat today. Our golden text is Psalm 78. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, we will get back to that because I'm going to start with something that Dale sent to me. Dale W. from Virginia. It was sent to her in the early 90s from Paul Smiley, and it was upon receiving the book by Carpenter, Mary Baker Eddy, Her Spiritual Footsteps. And it was sent from what was called the Gethsemane Foundation from Dallas, Texas. And the Gethsemane Foundation, if you have your computer on, please turn it off because there's an echo. The Gethsemane Foundation is a nonprofit, tax-exempt religious foundation, and it seeks to promote a greater public understanding of Christian Science and its discoverer, founder, and leader, Mary Baker Eddy. The Gethsemane Foundation is tax-exempt under the provisions of section so-and-so, and my understanding is it was Paul Smiley was behind it. He sent out many pamphlets, publications, about the importance of seeing Mrs. Eddy as the woman in the apocalypse. And I'm comparing him to the Amos, to our early prophets. This foundation, I can't find it anymore. I think it's gone. He has passed on. I do know the person who lives with his sister, and I've written her to see what more she can tell me about what happened to it. But anyway, he wrote this letter. We were going to edit it out, but we decided there was nothing that we could edit out, so we're reading it in full. And thank you very much, Dale, for sending it to me. I don't ever remember receiving it.
Yes, this is his letter to Dale Wallace. Dear friend, in appreciation of your support for the Gethsemane Foundation, we wanted you to have this book. And this is the Carpenter Spiritual Footsteps book. Any of you who could further help us with church lists, association members, etc., whom you know to have a loving, sweet, or innocent character, and who would therefore not have so much resistance to overcome that they would reject our material on Mrs. Eddy, please send their names. The issue concerning our leader is the one all-important point concerning Christian Science at this period. It determines the issue of instantaneous healing versus chronic unhealed problems. It concerns the stability of your families, the safety of your children and grandchildren, the existence of our church, the protection of our nation, and the stability of our world. We need to reach as many as possible with the truth about our leader. We can mitigate the suffering taking place in our own families, our church, and with all mankind if the truth about our leader becomes more widely disseminated and understood. Jesus foretold the invasion and destruction of Jerusalem, Matthew 24. He knew what the rejection of God's messenger would bring. His own students deserted him in his hour of need. Their professed love for him was a sham. On the way to his crucifixion, the women were crying, and he said they should cry for themselves and their own children, those who would be in Jerusalem when it was invaded. See Luke 23. God brought our own nation forth for a single purpose, the protection and extension of Christian Science through the recognition of God's anointed messenger who would bring the second appearing of the Christ. Failing to do this, there is no more purpose for our nation. Our leader said, quote, "A siege of the combined centuries culminating in fierce attack cannot demolish our strongholds. The forts of Christian Science, garrisoned by God's chosen ones, can never surrender. Unlike Russia's armament, ours is not costly as men count cost." End quote. And that's from Miscellany, page 127. All of the present peace initiatives with the communists and the so-called dissolution of communism are merely a prelude to war. Do not be fooled. The suffering can be mitigated if you will accept your place as one of God's chosen ones. We cannot afford to be so casual and timid about this any longer. It is too late in the day to continue philosophizing about this issue. Mrs. Eddy said, quote, "But if our nation's rights or honor were seized, every citizen would be a soldier, and woman would be armed with power girt for the hour," end quote. And that's from Miscellany, page 277. In our time, the invasion, suffering, and destruction will involve this present generation, you and your families. The issue of the proper recognition of Mrs. Eddy, especially at this time in our nation's history, is the single most important question to be considered, more than your business, family, church, or your own life. You must decide the priority that it has in your own experience. If we have the courage to fight this issue out in our own churches, we will not have to fight it out in the streets. Your decision. And I might add, we have very little time left. This issue will be resolved during 1996. There is a tribulation process of 3.5 years before this date. Simple arithmetic. You have a choice. You can overcome your self-satisfaction and inaction and save your nation and your families. You may not like to hear this, but only a good friend would tell you, "If you would rather be angry with me than wake up and save yourselves, your church, nation, and families, that is up to you. I have done my duty and warned you." Our Lord and our leader have said the same things about our time. Jesus said, quote, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened," end quote. And that's from Matthew 24. Mrs. Eddy said, quote, "Marvels, calamities, and sin will much more abound as truth urges upon mortals its resisted claims," end quote. Science and Health, page 223. With her church so firmly entrenched against Mrs. Eddy and genuine Christian Science, we are indeed in grave danger. She said, quote, If Christian Science is not adopted and demonstrated by the people, I clearly foresee that this planet will be dissolved. End quote. They asked her how, and she replied, by fire. I think it is. She also said, quote, what burns up? Malice. We are told, like Mount Pele, there is an internal fire, malice, that will finally burst forth and destroy the world. It is all malice, and our textbook tells us Christian scientists will hold such things in check. End quote. Those who understand our leader's place in Bible prophecy at present are so terrorized by Romanism and selfishness that they will not speak up. While many smugly profess their love for Mrs. Eddy, it is a sham. At the same time, the unhandled malice in their own thinking for the ideal woman and the highest example of womanhood and mothering keeps them intimidated. What hope is there? Crime is not being held in check because the elect will not speak up for their leader. Sincerely, Paul Smiley.
Pretty serious words. He was the voice crying in the wilderness. His book, which is Mary Baker Eddy, The Prophetic and Historical Perspective, is full of many interesting things, including many quotes that you don't hear. And this is the book that we talked to you about before, that David Keeston, who has an independent website with books.
Healing Unlimited.
Healing Unlimited. He asked us if we wanted these books because he had a huge, huge amount of them. And where was he going with them?
The dump.
The dump. The dump.
Because nobody wanted to buy it.
Yep. So we said we absolutely want it. And any of you that come to Plainfield, we give it to you free. And if you want to send us postage and a donation, we can send it to you. But it's very important. As I said, when I Googled Mary Baker Eddy a couple of weeks ago, what came up was an American writer. This is part of the missing link as to why the science has failed so utterly, which he brings out.
Well, the organization has failed so utterly.
What did I say?
The science.
The science.
Excuse me. I did not mean the science. I meant the organization. And in his book, he says, while speaking to Mrs. Eddy, Victoria Sargent stated, my students recognize you to be God's witness and mouthpiece. They are convinced that God is guiding you in this work, which you are carrying on for the cause of Christian Science. They feel you fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures, that you represent the God-crowned woman mentioned in the Apocalypse. Mrs. Eddy answered by pointing her finger upward and saying, that is from above. She knew it, but all these books that tell us are suppressed. So we shout it from the housetop and thank Paul Smiley for the work that he did. And others that have gone before us. And this is why we are 24/7 in this, why we take it so seriously. This just isn't some nice little church you've joined. It's far more than that. I came here years ago with little children thinking I was just joining a little nice church, but boy, was I in for a surprise.
And a very good surprise.
And a very good surprise. And this book that he wrote was published 1979, and that's just the time that all this stuff, the attack on our church, was going on, and we were being
sued,
yes. So, very important. This is why we're studying the Bible, the prophets. And sometimes we'll say, well, why didn't anybody tell us? People are speaking. It's a matter of, are we listening? If these books had to go to the dump, what the heck is that all about? It's that quote we like to quote from Hosea.
our guys are doing just fine by us.
Yeah, our guys are doing just fine.
And this leads us into this week's lesson on substance, which is beautifully written by Florence, and supply. All right, and I'm going to quote again. It's in this book, but I believe it was Edward Kimball saying, Mrs. Eddy, what will happen if you were to pass on? What will happen to the Christian Science movement? You know what she said?
It'll go into materiality and...
She said it will degenerate into material prosperity. And then he said, well, what will happen if you ascend? And she got a beatific look on her face, and she said, the Mother Church will be dissolved. Now, the New Age has a big thing now about, they call it the prosperity religion. Many, many, many Christian Scientists became hugely wealthy. And then what happened? It degenerated into material prosperity. It's exactly what she said. So we are going to teach today the principles of supply. But they are God-based, and it's not just because you want to get whatever it is you want to get. Again, it is a byproduct of living this truth. I will say, certainly by acknowledging her as the woman in the apocalypse. Now, why is that so important? What difference does that make?
Well, it gives a holy substance to her message. Because if without that, I mean, who are we talking about? Just a writer? No.
Exactly correct.
Thank you. For the same reason that we have to recognize Jesus as the Son of God. If you can't acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, I mean, this is not for his benefit. This is not for Mrs. Eddy's benefit that we recognize their place in biblical history and their base in their place in their relationship with God. This is for our benefit. That we recognize that what she gave us came directly from God. That she fulfilled a holy purpose. How many of us can fill our divine purpose? And that is what this is all about, learning to fulfill our divine purpose.
Florence, were you going to speak?
No, I think somebody else was.
Oh, someone else?
I was just thinking it helps impersonalize Mary Baker Eddy, just like when we think of Jesus, we shouldn't be thinking of the man Jesus, but what he represented as the Son of God. And the same with Mary Baker Eddy. It's not the woman, it's the figure, what the spiritual signification of what we saw as a woman.
Thank you very much. That's absolutely right. It takes a personal sense out of, from her, and that's why we don't just say Jesus, it's Christ Jesus. It's an impersonal idea that's with us today, but she needs to be acknowledged for who and what she is. Otherwise, all the clout is gone. She's just an American writer. Jesus was just a nice man who maybe did some healing work. Well, how does that serve and bless us today? It does not. And this is, believe me, what's going on in diminishing these incredible people to a state of just, they were some nice people. So it's highly important. And if you listen carefully, Paul Smiley is talking about her church, was fighting her on this issue. Liz Knapp had a book out, and he had also had a lot of money. Liz Knapp was an early worker who knew Mrs. Eddy, as did his parents, particularly his parents, Ira and Flavia. And he wrote this book saying she is the woman in the apocalypse. And he was not going to give his huge inheritance. I forget how much it was. I refuse to call it the Mother Church. I call it the BOD or the organization, because it is not the Mother Church. He was going to give this money to the BOD if they did what?
Printed his book.
Printed his book and had it in the reading rooms. So they said they would, and they got the money. Is the book in the reading rooms?
No.
No.
Has anybody ever heard of it?
No.
No.
When it first came out, it caused a lot of turmoil in the churches. They got to fighting, and our own church was a model of that, and people took sides. And some teachers wrote letters against the board for doing it, including my teacher. And my teacher also taught that Ms. Eddy, it was a generic man, was the person in the apocalypse. So a lot happened during those couple years.
And why did Mrs. Eddy answer the question about the woman in the apocalypse by saying that it was generic man? Why did she say that?
To me, it feels like she's showing the highest qualities of the impersonal representation of it, and that she was the closest to it.
She knew, if she acknowledged that she was the woman in the apocalypse, she knew that the human mind would mutilate her, would destroy her, and would harm the cause of Christian Science by doing so. She saw the devil ready to leap all over it. So it's not for her benefit that we acknowledge her. But any practicing Christian Scientist knows in his or her heart that she is the woman in the apocalypse.
And it outrages mortal mind. And in the book somewhere, I was looking for it, but she says something, generic man did not discover science and health, the key to the scriptures. She there are many things that she said that the books are suppressed so you don't know any of this. So it keeps you blind, and you're just like it's been a nation of sheep just following the organization without questioning.
I like what Gilbert Carpenter says about that the demonstration can't be separated from the demonstrator.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the wonderful things about the Carpenter books is that it teaches you how she demonstrated. It shows you all these stories. And that what Smiley quoted about the earth burning up and everything, that's in Spiritual Footsteps. I remember reading it. These are all quotes. Now, We can change the course of history. That's the thing. That's what's so important. That's what these times are so important. That's why you are so important. Do you want to be weeping because, you know, the world is blown up? Do you want to be weeping because your children get destroyed? I mean, maybe this work is a little more important than a trip to Disneyland. I cannot emphasize it enough, but this is how we were trained for 30 or 40 years in this church. And this is how I am training you. And the times have changed. We are on the internet now. Everything is out. Used to be all this hidden stuff. Well, now I say, okay, buddy, you're going to put all this negative stuff out about science. Well, I'm going to put out everything I can that supports it and tells the truth about it. Because this is the truth, and the others are lies.
We have over 4,000 videos out there. So.
We do.
Oh, my. That's great.
And it's just spreading. But this, so when you think Christian Science fails or you don't get it and all of this stuff, it's because Because the organization hasn't taught you the things you need to know. And we are, and it will change your life. Just go to our website and start reading these things and listening. Just touching the master's hem. I mean, I have people that come and they just hear the truth for the first time, and already they're uplifted. Already their snarls begin to unwind because they can feel it's the truth. It is the truth. And this is in no way a judgment of the organization, except that it is what it is. And I'm not being secretive about it. Who is telling of the foe is in ambush, as was Paul Smiley, as was many others. So we will get to now our supply.
Could I quickly say, please, that Mrs. Eddy completely admitted to it in writing, because in the around the 1886 edition of Science and Health, there's actually an index in it. And under Eddy, Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy, it says the chapter of the apocalypse is in reference to her. And then Christ and Christmas was originally printed around 1890-ish. And it caused such a turmoil because the pictures of showing, well, Mrs. Eddy was Christ Jesus, took people, shocked people so much that she had to retract it for about 8 years. And then, but she readjusted the things not to deny that she was who she was, but to make it more palatable, I guess one might say. And then
did you say Mrs. Eddy was Christ Jesus?
No. Christ in Christmas, it showed Mary Baker Eddy, as far as I see it, was Christ Jesus. I mean, the pictures, the woman and the guy.
She's not him. She's with him.
So, right. Okay. Yes, exactly. With him, them together. But yeah. That was such a shock to people's systems that they couldn't handle it, because it's that anti-feminism or whatever one wants to call it. It's not even feminism, but it's anti-woman thing that men are supposed to rule everything. And really, I think Mrs. Eddy says that woman actually rules everything.
Well, she says that they are the more spiritually minded. And in this case, yeah, she needed to be seen. It was time for a woman, an expression of it, in the case of women, womanhood. Okay.
May I just add something? It reminds me also of the reaction of the Jews, the Pharisees, and the, basically the Jewish nation that was in power at the time, when Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." And the reaction was blasphemy. So it's a similar reaction that we see that happened to Mary Baker Eddy, basically, when it was said, or when she said, that she is a woman in the apocalypse. It's malicious.
Jesus.
Magnetism.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jesus was one of them.
Jesus was a Jew. And I gave the illustration in the Bible study yesterday of a woman. She had this dream where she was just being tormented by all these negative suggestions. She's just a terrible person and all of this. And then on the other side, Christ Jesus was telling her the truth about her oneness with God, and she was a child of God. And for every time he stated the truth about the oneness of God, what happened?
He was whipped.
So you see, mortal mind does not, in belief, is aggressive. It does not want you to come out of this state of bondage. But you have to, and when you do, you have all the power of God with you. And it's glorious. And there's nothing Eric can do, because ultimately it is nothing. And we prove it to be so. But we must have the courage. As Smiley says, where are all these people? They're lacking courage. And he was addressing the CS branch churches who were just cowering in their boots and not standing up when he wrote that letter in the 90s. So.
And ultimately, this is just the resistance of the so-called mortal mind to the truth, to the divine mind. The human mind is stupid. It is incapable of knowing anything about God. And when God confronts it, when the truth confronts it, it becomes scared to death, and it's frightened for its own destruction. And that's why it attacks the truth and the messengers of the truth, because it feels its own destruction. And it's not something that we should ever fear or be intimidated by.
It's actually the safest place you can be, because you have God behind it. Florence?
Yeah, I think when it's also being taught that she just typifies the woman in the apocalypse, it sustains a doubt still, right? It's still in between. Instead of just saying who she is, and I think it forces doubting what her mission was for the whole of mankind.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And it takes away the certainty of our ability to demonstrate the science as she did.
It's the clout, it's the power that's so missing, because as I've said, many scientists are very, very sweet, kind, good people, no doubt about it. So are many Catholics. But what makes a difference? There are things that make a difference, and that knowing her as the woman in the apocalypse, it brings about the power, it unlooses the power. As acknowledged Christ Jesus.
One thing that I should have said was that probably the biggest resistance, as this person pointed out, with Christ Jesus and with Mary Baker Eddy, actually comes from within. So the resistance to Christ and Christmas, and what she put in the index, probably the most resistance came from within Christian Science, not from the outside.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And Smiley speaks to that, as does Keystone in What Prospers Healing. It was her own church that turned against her, and that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. So occasionally I get people asking me, well, should I take class instruction? You're asking me if you should take class instruction. I try not to advise anybody what to do. You do what you think is right, but please don't ask me. Because I have pretty strong feelings about that. So anyway, okay, substance and supply. And as I said, we're not to degenerate into material prosperity, okay? Been there, done that. The movement has been there and done that. And if that's what you're interested in, go somewhere else. If you're interested in cross-bearing and truly learning this science, then you're in the right place. And it will come as a byproduct, as will health. But it's not what we seek after. That's what's the problem with New Age. Okay.
One of the things that I've noticed is that I'm just really new to this church, and you go in depth. It reminds me of yesterday's Bible discussion about the plumb line. The plumb line points to the center of the earth, relatively speaking. And for me, it represents also the uprightness, the symbol for the code that we're supposed to follow in order to really be the true reflection of God. And when we stay at the surface, which is what the organization seems to be doing, then we don't get to that center, to the source where we can find the supply.
Thank you. Very good.
That's right. You got it.
Very good. Thank you, Candy. All right. The golden text. Jeffrey, read it for us again.
Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?
And what is the answer?
Yes.
What cannot God do? That's Mrs. Eddy. But what cannot God do? And so who will tell me who saw the video that Parthens posted? What was that about?
It was beautiful. I cried.
Yes, very beautiful.
Yeah, speak up, though.
All right. So a church in, was it Arkansas?
Yes.
State? Okay. Mm-hmm. A little church. They decided on a Thanksgiving to everybody. They were told to cook a turkey, a Thanksgiving dinner that would feed a regular family, nice big family. So a lot of people did that, and they brought it to the church. They expected to feed 400. As it turned out, people were lined up outside their door. When they opened the door, they were shocked, and they fed over 2,000 people. And they didn't know it, but every time a pan was empty and they'd turn around, a pan was handed to them by hands, and they would put it, and they just kept feeding and feeding people all day long until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then they all cleaned up. Everything was absolutely clean, not a speck anywhere.
And the leftovers were sent home.
Yes, they were. They even had leftovers,
right.
And they were sent home to people. They put them in their truck and to take them out. And then a family showed up with like five little children. She said, "I understand we could get some food here for Thanksgiving." And they turned them out. They put them in the corner where there were clothing that they could look at to take, and they were huddled together, deciding what to do. Should we take them to the store and buy food for them? And then suddenly somebody turned around and said, "Look," and there was a beautiful, warm whole loaf of bread on the table. And they said, "What?" So then they got that, they put that out. They saw a cupboard door that was ajar, and they opened that, and there was more food. And then they started to search, and they found more food, and they fed that family. And it was very beautiful. They knew it was a miracle that God had provided, a living miracle that day. And that's why they made that video.
And what? Thank you, Shardy. What was the definition of miracle in that story?
That was, go ahead.
Human hands could not provide.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. They were expressing one of the principles of supply. And what is that principle? Love, yes. But what kind of love?
Giving.
Divine.
Unselfed love. Unselfed love. They were wanting to meet another's need. That's a principle of supply. I read this, it was a wonderful article. I forget the name of the man. He's the man that does those pillows, right? The pillow.
Oh, yeah, the pillow man.
The pillow man.
And he was, you know, a drug addict, terrible situation. But he seemed to have an idea of God anyway.
And he had a mentor.
And eventually he got this idea. He was also had insomnia. But he wanted to help people. He wanted to help people sleep. His idea was to help, to serve. And now that pillow has been a great success. But also, he is going around our country, if not the world, with basic good ideas as to how to heal the drug problem. And he says you can't do it without God. And everyone who has a drug problem, he's making sure they have a mentor, someone who's come out of the problem and can help them, and also someone who's found God. And he is having huge victory and success. Friends, there's an answer to all our problems if we seek it in God. And that's why there is an abundance of things to do in this world. If your ambition, I put that in quotes, is one of service, one of meeting the need of others, not what's in it for me. Now, some people make a lot of money on what's in it for me. They have basically useless things they sell or do. And eventually, I think it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. But if you take this principle of supply to heart and let God use you in whatever way he would, the abundance will come.
It sounds like good intentions plus wisdom.
Yes, good intentions plus wisdom. This was, we talked about the equation for evil. GI minus W equals E. Good intentions minus wisdom equals evil. So the wisdom has to be there. There is not a person on this earth who needs to be poor and miserable. God is an abundant God. He pours it out constantly, his goodness. But we are so conditioned not to see it, or maybe that's all we want is that. We don't seek the God behind it. We seek the thing. And if you seek the thing, well, you will seek the thing in vain for a long, long time till you learn. Mrs. Eddy has said, poverty is just as, I forget the word, erroneous or bad as what?
Cancer.
Cancer. Yes. Any physical problem. We're not supposed to go around necessarily poor and without. But if you worship this thing, which is what happens, which would happen with the organization that put them sound asleep, then I'm sorry. And these days, frankly, they're over. People who want healing for the healing's sake, they want supply for the supply's sake, go somewhere else. No more magic wands waving around. It's not happening. I truly believe that. And that's not, I don't think that's my opinion. It's my observation. Go to your doctors. Do whatever you want. If you want science healing, you have to be willing to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And not complaining and murmuring, as we find in the children of Israel. So, Carol, will you please read our responsive reading?
Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing praises unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations.
What's the second rule of supply? Or may, it's actually the first. I did this backwards.
Give thanks.
Yes. I don't care if you're living in a hovel right now. You thank God that you're living in somewhere. You thank God for life, truth, and love. You begin magnifying God. And you do it whether you ever have any more in your life or not. You do it because you're truly grateful for God and his goodness. This is why we make gratitude lists. But it's thanking God, not the thing, not the golden egg, but the goose that gave the golden egg. It's thanking God. And Florence wisely started this lesson with thanks to God. If you focus on what you do not have and you murmur and grumble, guess what?
Keep murmuring.
You will murmur.
You don't even see what you got.
You will be in the wilderness 40 years murmuring and grumbling. Okay? You're focused on the wrong thing.
You're focused on something that's insubstantial. You're focused on effect instead of cause. That's why giving thanks gets you back to the source of all substance.
Yes. Yes. And the more you thank God, the more you'll have. Just a little illustration. If you have a child that says, I don't have this, and what's the matter? I want more and more and more. Give me that toy. Give me that. As a parent, do you feel like buying things for that child?
No.
But if you have a child who's always grateful and thanking you and saying, Mother, Father, I've have enough, please. They're the ones you want to give more to. Well, that's kind of maybe not the greatest illustration, but it has a lot to say. I mean, even that's true in life. If someone is grateful for something, you feel like blessing them with more. While if someone doesn't even notice all that you've given and done to help them, and they don't even express any gratitude, you say, hmm. So,
but there is a
principle.
Go ahead.
I think that thanking God also builds up faith, I feel. It really does. It has done for
me. Definitely. Absolutely. Gratitude is an instant connection to God. You see what he's done. And when you see that, the hand that's open to give is open to receive. But when you see all that he's done, you are open to receive more.
And that is the principle behind all this.
And it is a principle. And you cannot fool God. You can't say, okay, I'm gonna do something unselfish and I'm going to thank God so then I'll have a great supply. No. It's welling up from your heart and it's sincere and genuine, it won't work.
There's a hymn that says, gratitude is riches, complain is poverty.
That is Jim's favorite hymn. He quotes it to me almost every day when he calls. He is a grateful person. And he has a great deal of supply. Guess what? So focus on the enduring the good and the true. See what God has done, and he will do more. That is true about your health, too. If you complain, well, my big toe hurts, well, then all your other toes are going to hurt, too. be grateful your feet work. Be grateful you can see. Start thinking about what you can do, what God has given you. Don't focus on this other. As Gary says, you're focusing on the false, the insubstantial. You will open up, the floodgates of heaven will open up. Now, in the Smiley book, on page 71, it talks about Mrs. Eddy being the daughter of Zion. And it says how she had nothing. It goes into it. I don't have time to read all of it, but she had nothing. You know, she was going from room to room. But then she says, finally, she had a great deal, didn't she? And she applied these principles. Certainly the first one was this unselfed desire to help mankind. That's all she cared about. She didn't care if she lived in a hovel. She was willing to accept that. So she says, after 4 years from my discovery of Christian Science, while taking no for my labors in healing all manner of diseases, I was confronted with the fact of no monetary means left wherewith to hire a hall in which to speak or to establish a Christian Science home for indigent students, which I yearned to do, or even to meet my own current expenses, and halted from necessity. I had cast my all into the treasury of truth, but where were the means with which to carry on a cause? To desert the cause never occurred to me, but nobody then wanted Christian Science, nor gave it a halfpenny. Though sorely oppressed, I was above begging, and knew well the priceless worth of what I had been bestowed without money or price. Just then, God stretched forth his hand. He it was that bade me to do what I did. And I prospered at every step. It was thus that I earned the means wherewith to start a Christian Science home for the poor, worthy student, to establish a metaphysical college, to plan our first magazine, to purchase the site for a church edifice, to give my church the Christian Science Journal, and to keep the wolves and sheep's clothing from preying upon my pearls, from clogging the wheels of Christian Science. And it goes on, and it goes on about all the donations that were sent to build her church. Joanne is found in William Lyman's History of the Christian Science Movement, William Lyman Johnson's History of the Christian Science Movement, Historical Proof of Divine Supply. where this money came pouring in to build the church. And this was it during a very bad economic time for the country. But it came pouring in within a matter of weeks. They had all the money they needed. Now, this is why the church symbolizes so much to me and to others. She calls it a prayer in stone. It's a symbolizing demonstration, God's demonstration, God's love, God's supply. Anyway, in this article that Joe sent to us, she ends at the last paragraph. She writes this, which is true.
Now this, she says, this historical demonstration of supply inspired Plainfield Church and enabled us to raise over $260,000 to pay for legal costs arising from the lawsuit that the Boston organization unjustly filed against us in 1983. In the midst of this overwhelming expense, the church was also able to purchase and install a magnificent new organ, costing about the same amount, $250,000. All these funds were raised without incurring any debt, but solely through the contributions of local church members and others in the field who knew of our law case and supported the church's cause of independence. During that whole time, members who contributed never suffered any financial hardship, but rather prospered through job promotions, inheritances, and countless other unexpected incomes. This again was continued proof of God's divine supply.
Thank you. There are innumerable accounts of supply, and these two basic principles are applied with great sincerity. You can't fake it. God, don't mock God. Don't even try. If you do, all good is available to you. Never has failed. It's laws and principles of the universe. So Gary will end on Bicknell Young's article, If We Say I Want. Bicknell Young's other article, Finance, is also an amazing article. You all should read it and study it. It's in the book we sell called Collected Writings. I would have gone into that, except time begs.
And it's on our website.
It's on our website, yes.
Okay, Bicknell Young. If we say, I want, we obscure, I am. The only I there is cannot want. Man is a state of possession, not of desire. When we set aside, I want, then I am is present. If there is anything you want, stop and think. That's the reason you haven't got it. When you see that everything and everybody is governed by God, that is the ark, and there is safety. When you seek manifestation, you are separation. A Christian Scientist is of value only as he evaluates. Peter was all right and making his demonstration until fear came in, and then he sank. We are not making a living. Living is being. Being is God. And God is living. When you are handling fear, handle it. Don't be it. Don't put your fear into your treatment of fear. Spirit is the only tangible thing. Tangibility is substance. And substance is spirit. Someone said, it seems to me the claim constantly is that we cannot see spirit. The answer was, my dear, you cannot see anything else but spirit. It would be impossible to, even if you tried.
That is our substance. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.